Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Oh, my God. Have all the grown-ups gone to bed now? Has the screaming stopped? Have we resolved that Democrats are evil? Thank God we're spending 24 hours a day on that. Hey, welcome. WWLZ in Elmira, home of the second best pizza in upstate New York, Syracuse being the best. WQHL, WJZS in Live Oak, Florida, which counts, ladies and gentlemen, as the Tallahassee DMA. And KBAR in Burley, Idaho, and KZNU and KAZZ in St. George, Utah. We're getting out to the West Coast. We're moving quickly out to the West Coast. We're up to like 800 stations now. It's unbelievable, and never once have I told you to buy an old car.
WLS with Bob Surratt and Music Radio Touchtones this afternoon, signaling your chance to win things like Yes concert tickets, Eric Clapton and Santana concert tickets, Polaroid cameras, and other goodies from the radio station.
Bob Surratt has been on the air in Chicago for 40 years, Bob.
Let's see. Are we talking dog years or radio years now?
Radio years, so it could be 108.
Well, I started on actually WBBM-FM, the CBS station in Chicago here in 71, and then went to WLS in 1973. And as you could tell by that audio clip you played, we had the best listeners money could buy.
Yes. And do you know when this audio clip was recorded? Do you know when it's from?
It sounded like somewhere around 1970.
WLS with Bob Surratt and Music Radio Touchtones this afternoon.
It was your first show on LS.
No, the first one. Oh, my goodness. No wonder why it sounds so awful.
Now, listen, Bob Surratt, it's, first we have to resolve something. It was very important. I shared it with my listener, and it's something you and I need to work out. Here we go. I saw you at the Radio Hall of Fame dinner, which was a black tie optional dinner, and nobody in radio owns a tuxedo, or if they did, it's been seized. And there you were, and all through the dinner, I'm sitting between John Guerin, a legendary radio programmer in Chicagoland, and Bob Feeder, who is one of three actual journalists who covers radio in America. There's one in L.A., there was one in New York, and I think he's it.
That's right.
And so I'm sitting between the two of them, which is a lot of Chicago to have for a dinner. And there, over there, I see you. And I go over to greet you. And I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm on WLS with Bob Surratt. I can't believe I'm on the same radio station with you.
Like, Walter, you are easily pleased, aren't you? That's one of the nice things about you. That's why people love you.
Yeah. The thing about me is I have absolute confidence in my abilities as a suit and no confidence in my ability on the air. So there's Bob Surratt, and I walk up to Bob Surratt, and I say, Bob, it is a great honor to be on the same radio station with you. And Bob looked at me as though he had just eaten bad tuna.
And
he had this flash that his career has gotten to the point where he's on the same station with Walter Sterling. And I'm hoping that wasn't it. I'm hoping that you actually did eat bad tuna.
No, I was actually preoccupied because I was, you were nice enough to come up to me after I had done the induction speech for my old colleague, John Records Landecker. And I think at that point, you know how we radio people are. We replay everything, and we're thinking, did I say that right? Did that come off well? And so I think that's where you caught me.
Well, you came off a lot better than Landecker. Let me help you with that. Because that rambling, bizarro world speech about the Lone Ranger, I don't know what that was. But if I'm ever given the Radio Hall of Fame honor, then I'll be able to say whatever I want. Now, I have some very important questions for you, and I need to frame this for my listener in a way that everybody can relate. Bob Surratt has the best job in radio. He's on from 10 to noon on WLS in Chicago. Did you hear what I said? 2 hours. And then to make the home fires happy, he's on with his wife. He pulled a scam where he gets his wife on the show with him. I listened to your whole show last week, a couple of them. And by the way, how's your throat, by the way?
I've made a recovery. I've made a recovery. Yeah, I kind of had was fighting a cold, and I woke up and didn't have a voice. But you know what? Paul McCartney. If you ever saw Paul McCartney in concert, he goes like 3 hours. He didn't even take a drink of water, and the guy is still doing it. And I read his remedy was this oil that. Actually, he saw Little Richard do this. He saw Little Richard inhale this oil. He put a towel over his head and then inhaled an oil, and he cured his sore throat. And I'm trying to remember now as I'm telling you this story, I forgot what the oil was.
It's like Ebo, something like that. Ebo oil.
Yeah. A matter of fact, Marianne, who you just mentioned, who I work with, is here, and she'll remember. What was the oil Paul McCartney inhales? He got that from Little Richard. What is it? It starts with an O. We'll figure it out. But anyway, I didn't have any of that, so I did the next best thing. I took a steam, I gargled tea, and my voice came back.
By the way, I went to one of those voice doctors, one of those scary real voice doctors, because after 3 hours of this, my voice was exhausted. And I'm like, my voice should not be exhausted after 3 hours of this. And it turned out I had a paralyzed vocal cord. One of my vocal cords is paralyzed. Now, let me ask you a very important question. You're a radio guy, like the definitive radio guy. Every geek in the Midwest that ever dreamed of being on the radio, it's because they listened to you, Bob. I have now seen many photographs and in person your wife, Marianne.
Uh-huh.
How the hell did you pull that off? Your wife is so beautiful. And so talented and so funny on the radio. I figured months ago when I listened for the first time, I figured, oh, she forced her way into this. She's the show. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, well, what happened is she met me when I was already in television and not in radio anymore. So she considered me at that point.
Yeah, then you were viable. Now, I understand she has a recipe for the best Thanksgiving appetizer, and I would like to hear that.
Oh, yeah. She makes this corn casserole. She's Cuban. She's got a Latin food website. And stand by, because I'll give you the site, and you can get this recipe. But she makes this corn casserole for Thanksgiving. It's the greatest appetizer, but it's also the greatest dessert and the greatest side dish. It's world famous, and every TV station, every radio station we've ever been on together doing shows, we've talked about it so much to the point where every year at this time, so many people ask us to repeat the recipe, and it's on her website, which is named after a pet monkey. That's another story for another show. SusosFork.com, SusosFork, SusosFork.com. You go there. And you can find the recipe there. In fact, if you subscribe there, she sends free recipes out every week.
That's pretty cool. I will put that on my Facebook page, the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, on the Twitter page. You and I are talking to Bob Surratt. Bob Surratt is on WLS in Chicago from 10 to noon every day with his insanely gorgeous wife, Marianne. Question. Chicago, in my opinion and my experience, is the toughest radio city in America. More people go to Chicago and fail miserably than any other city. Nothing changes in Chicago. Nothing moves in Chicago. You can go to other cities, put on a new format, it explodes to number one. Okay, that never happens in Chicago. Please share some tips about being an effective communicator in Chicago.
Well, a couple of things. And first of all, let me just say, it's oil of Olbas, or Olbas oil. That's the McCartney throat secret, O-L-B-A-S. Okay, now as for your question, Walter. Well, first of all, I don't know if it's the toughest city. It certainly has been the best radio city. I'm prejudiced because I grew up here in Chicago with some great radio personalities, WLS in the 60s, WCFL in the late 60s. I've already forgotten the question. Oh, I know. What makes it tough? How do you survive? Well, I think you survive, I'll take that one first, by reinventing yourself to a certain degree, or at least growing up with your audience. Steve Dahl's a great radio personality. He's on our station in the afternoon. And Steve is not the same Steve he was when he started here. He did character voices. He doesn't do that anymore. He is now talking about things that are of interest to him as a guy who is older now. And his audience grew up with him, and that's why they're still with him and they're still loyal. So I think if I was still giving away T-shirts to the 15th caller when you heard the music radio touchstone, I don't know if people would care that much about me. But fortunately, I have a stage where I can talk about the things that interest me and hopefully interest others who have grown up with me. And look, you have to be a little lucky. You have to be given a platform to do what you do. And I've been very lucky over the years to get those stages, I call them, where you can perform and say what you want to say. And so I think as long as you are evolving, as long as you're maturing, your audience is going to be right there with you. And people in Chicago are very, very loyal, I think. You know, when I'm on the radio and make a mistake, as I often do, the reaction is, oh, you know, that's just Bob. It's like if you're an old friend to somebody, you're much more tolerant. And I think that's the way it is with people on the air who have been fortunate enough to be able to show their true personalities. People feel like this is a very intimate medium, and people feel like they know you, and they will tolerate all kinds of errors on your part. Once they get, I mean, hopefully initially they like you and they've grown up with you, and not a week goes by without somebody coming up to me talking about how they used to listen to me in the 70s on WLS. I've been lucky enough to do television here for a long time. And so Marianne and I met on a morning show we did for the Fox station here in the 90s. So I get a lot of people who are younger who come up to me and say, I used to watch you when I was getting ready for school on your morning show. You know, it's kind of like people coming up to Paul McCartney who know he was in Wings, and that's about it. So I've been very, very fortunate to now, be able to get these opportunities in Chicago.
Yeah, now Bob Surratt is the star of WLS from 10 to noon on WLS, our affiliate in Chicagoland. A lot of people, retailers, service people, people who work from home, have a fantasy about working with their spouse. Now, share with us two or three tips on successfully working with your spouse.
Treat your spouse like you would treat a friend, not like you treat your spouse. And what I mean by that is we tend to be a little bit nicer to people we don't know as intimately. And I see a lot of married folks nodding their head in agreement out there through the radio right now, because we tend to be more critical of the people that we're married to. And so I have to remember that all the time. And Marianne will catch me on that, and I'll say something to her, and she'll say, would you have said that to John Landecker? And I'll think, and I'll realize, no, she's right. I probably wouldn't have called him out on that. So I think that's one tip. Another tip is if you are mad about something, try to have the argument after the show, not before the show, because it's really hard to...
Yeah, but if it's during the show, that could be really good.
Well, you know what? And we've done that, and I always get the same reaction when that happens. People will call or email, and they'll say, boy, I was happy to hear you guys having that argument because I have the same problem in my house. So it's another way for people to relate. So you're right. That's not a bad thing. So I think those would be my two big tips.
One more very important question. Could you please repeat the address of your wife's website?
Sure. Suso'sFork.com. She had a pet monkey when she was growing up in Miami, and the monkey was very adventurous and also ate healthier than everybody else in the family. So Marianne decided to name the site after Suso, S-U-S-O. And the website is Suso'sFork.com, S-U-S-O-S-F-O-R-K.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it that the legendary Bob Surratt is on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you so much, Bob Surratt. Thank you very, very much. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. And coming up in just seconds, oh, my God, John Lanigan. John Lanigan, legendary Cleveland broadcaster, just came out with a hysterical book, and we'll share that with him in seconds. This is Westwood One.
M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Every email is answered. Send yours to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, did I tell you this, that Elmira, New York, has the second-best pizza after Syracuse? I went to college in Syracuse, and there's exactly one thing in Syracuse, Varsity Pizza. That's it. Nothing else. WWLZ AM 820 in Elmira. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Stuart Greenblatt, thank you for getting off your butt and doing something. WQHL AM and WJZS FM. We're on at FM in Live Oak, Florida. Now listen, attention management in Live Oak, Florida, you have one job, which is to cut a barter for me and my family to come down there and do our show in the dead of February from Tallahassee, Florida. That's your job. And KBAR, which has the best call letters in history, at 12:30, Buttley, Idaho. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Twin Falls, KZNU, AM and KAZZ, AM in St. George, Utah, part of Salt Lake City. That's all pretty exciting. Welcome to Walter Sterling, Walter M. Sterling. You know when I start to fumble like that, it's because I'm looking for something. There.
And here it comes, you guys. Here comes the kicker that I'm going to be looked at as like, ooh, Barrett's done. But it's the sexual harassment. There is so much inappropriateness in this industry when it comes to photographers and stylists and casting directors and agents, because you're supposed to just put up with it because you're the body, essentially. You're just a piece of almost meat in this respect.
We have become witch hunt nation. Remember in the 1950s, hundreds of actors and writers were banished and could not work again and became destitute, all because somebody said, you're a communist, or you're a communist sympathizer. And then in the 60s, if you protested against the war in Vietnam, you have a file at the FBI. You were an enemy of the state if you protested against the war in Vietnam. Enemy of the state. And then in the 90s and late 80s, dozens of completely innocent daycare workers and preschool owners of autonomous preschools, they went to jail because some prosecutors said, oh, you've run satanic cults against these kids. You've done animal sacrifices. Teacher after teacher after teacher, the McMartin preschool trial, the St. George's Church of Maplewood, New Jersey trial, all of those people were sent to jail. And they were all acquitted. Some of them went to jail. It was overturned, acquitted, but it was a witch hunt. 5 years ago, if I said, you're a racist, well, you were. That was it. That was the end of your career. And now we have this. People are accused. There are accusers. And then people are losing their careers. No trial, no proof, no evidence. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to John Lanigan, the voice of the Midwest, the star of Cleveland Radio, has put out a hysterical book, and you and I will talk to him in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday, Westwood One.
Sterling on Sundays. Every email is answered. Send yours to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail.
You got a chocolate Boston cream, and you got a chocolate donut with sprinkles from Dunkin' Donuts. And Dunkin' Donuts, as far as I'm concerned, is by far the best donuts and by far the best coffee. And I'm a type 2 diabetic. This, for me, is a life and death decision, whether or not to raid your donuts. Speaking of which, would somebody please tell me how to make oatmeal in the microwave without it boiling over the bowl? Use an oversized bowl, it says. Okay, I always use an oversized bowl, and it overflows every time. I could have it in for 30 seconds, 10 minutes. I could stir every 30 seconds. Doesn't matter. My oatmeal will boil over in the microwave. And then what happens? Then you burn your hand. And then you have to wash the whole microwave before you put in your next meal, which is a pizza. These are my dilemmas. I have to thank some people because it's Thanksgiving week. People have been so good to me. AJ Essington, Matt DeSantis, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lee Harris, who has created our website, our amazing website, waltermsterling.com, waltermsterling.com. Jared Hart, who is tolerant. David Yagdaroff, who is more than tolerant. Craig Kitchen, who out of some haze lost his senses and said, I'll be your manager. Stuart Greenblatt, who clears great radio stations for us. Dennis Green, who actually fought the fight at Westwood One to make this show happen. Thank you. And Chris Olivero. Chris Olivero is my angel. That's my angel, Christopher. So thank you, Chris Olivero. And now we have exciting new owners. Let me tell you about these new owners. Some of our affiliates have new owners. The CBS Radio Company, that's no more. Now it's owned by Entercom, a great Philadelphia family. The Temple game's on, right? Yeah, the great Philadelphia family of David Field and his father, Joseph Field. And these look like enlightened owners, and it's about time. And thank you, Bill Hess, and thank you, Stephen Moore. Thank you so much. And Peter Bolger, I appreciate the incredible amount of support that you've given me because you have only one reason to give me this support, which is it's Sunday night. We really don't care. And there is the famous John Lanigan. Oh, my gosh, John Lanigan. This is a high-risk proposition for me, John, because John Lanigan's been on the radio for, I don't know, 800-900 years, and I've been on for 8 or 9 hours. And every word that John's going to say will sound better than anything I've ever said. So welcome to Sterling on Sunday, John Lanigan. Welcome.
Where did you get that introduction from anyway?
Your wife said, please read this to shut him up.
I see. All right. Well, none of it's true, so don't buy a bit of it, folks.
Now, before we go any further, we take up this valuable airtime on radio stations like KDKA and KMOX and WMAL, John Lanigan has just come out with a funny book. What is the name of your book?
It's called Lanigan in the Morning, My Life in Radio.
I have posted it on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page and on my Twitter feed, and I'll ask you to say it 3 or 4 more times before the end of the conversation.
I'll do that very easily.
Now, John Lanigan has done something most people don't do in any industry. You have done what you love for over 40 years.
Over 50.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
Now,
well, I don't know. A lot of people are still doing it, but I was 18 when I started doing it. I'm 75 now, so it's over 50 years.
John Lanigan has spent his career in Texas, in Florida, in Tampa, Florida, Denver, but mostly in Cleveland.
New
Mexico. Where else?
Let's see, New Mexico, Colorado, Texas, Cleveland, and Florida.
Most years where?
Cleveland, Ohio.
The interesting thing about Cleveland, Ohio, is that it's a trick. You look at the city size, and it's about number 30. But the interesting thing about media, both radio and TV in Cleveland, is it acts like market number 8. It has a big city sound. It has a big city appeal. It has always attracted major talent. I blame Alan Freed.
Yeah, Alan Freed started rock and roll. I mean, he and a guy that had a record store there came up with the term, and that's where it came from.
Now, I have this question. It's talent and luck. You've had talent and luck. But there's
right.
Something else. There's another equation, which is that in any industry, no matter what you're doing, the other thing, it has to do with how you treat people. Perhaps you could share a tip or two on how to get along at work.
Well, I hope I did get along at work. I'll tell you, I had a guy in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when I worked there. And they took me down there at, I think it was a double-A station, and they put me in charge of programming and maybe the morning guy, and they had a great general manager named John Cercados, and I guess I was a little harder on the people I was working with there since I'd come from Denver and I thought I knew more. And he took me aside one day and he said, you know what, you got to watch what you're saying sometimes and how you treat people, because they don't really know where you came, well, all the background, and they're really just doing their job and they're well known here and they've been around a long time. And he said, you really got to watch out. Make sure that you treat them right, and everything is going to be better for you. And I absolutely admired him so much for what he said, and I followed that, I think, most of my career after that. So, yes, I really did listen to what a manager told me and tried to be different with people.
I have never heard anybody in the radio industry say a bad word about you as a colleague.
Well, good. Thank you. I can't imagine. I was always nice to people because I thought I might need them for a job.
In Cleveland with Lanigan in the mornings, that's the Polish Prince, Bobby Benton. Is this TV show on tonight? Which night is it? Friday? I don't know. Bionic Woman's on tonight, I know. That's always a fun show. Tonight, the Bionic Woman uses mouth-to-mouth resuscitation in a desperate attempt to revive a dead battery.
The all-night strut for City Pride.
That's John Lanigan. Which
that
station?
Was me?
Yes, that was you. Here, you want to hear it?
In Cleveland with Lanigan in the mornings, that's the Polish Prince, Bobby Benton. Is this TV show on tonight? Which night is it? Friday? I don't know. Bionic Woman's on tonight, I know. That's always a fun show. Tonight.
That must have been 1890.
No, okay, but it sounds like it.
Now, share with us a radio story. You have a million radio stories. Share with us one of your favorite radio stories, John Lanigan.
Well, it's probably I'm not sure it's a favorite radio story. In the book, I mean, I broke it down into a lot of different characters. Let me point out one thing before we do this. I really didn't want to write a book. I had no desire to, and people had asked me to, and I said, no, I can't do it. Nobody will care. And a guy named Pete Jettick came to me who had been on my show. He's a writer. He'd done a number of books, and he said, I'll make it easy, and we'll work it out, and we'll do the book. So he put it together, and he put it kind of in chapters that basically dealt with different things that I did. I did a lot of interviews. I had a lot of great friends that were comedians that were on the show all the time, and I still admire them and see them, from Jerry Seinfeld, who worked with me in the very beginning, to so many other great comics. But the story that I used for my best interview was my son in Denver, Colorado, Jad Lanigan. And I can remember getting up one morning and going to work, and I'm driving to the station, and it's 5 in the morning, and I'm listening to, I don't know, CNN or whatever on the radio, and they're covering a shooting in Denver. And I'm listening because I've got family in Denver, and I live in Denver some of the time. So I'm listening carefully. Then they say there's a shooting at a theater, and it's in Aurora, Colorado, where my son is a police lieutenant. And I'm now quite worried about all of this because I figure he'd be the one in charge of this. So when I get to the parking lot, I called him on his cell, and he did answer. And I said, hi, and he says, hi. I said, are you involved in this? And he said, oh, yeah. I said, are you okay? Because this was several hours later. And he said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, you want to talk about it today? And he said, no, I don't, Dad. I don't want to talk about it. I'll talk to you about it later. I said, okay, be careful and take care. And hung up, and I went into work. And then the story was the biggest thing we had. It was the Aurora shooting, where they shot all the people in the Aurora Theater. And he called me after I got off the air, and he said, I talked to my chief, and he said he'd let me do just one interview because it's you and you're on the air and you're my dad. I said, great, tomorrow morning we'll do it. So we did the interview the next morning talking about what happened as he described to me going into that theater with his partner, the first two through the theater, to try to get to this guy who was shooting people, and then he chases them out the back door while other people are screaming, please help me, please help me. One lady who had her stomach in her hand. I mean, people who were really badly hurt. And he chased him out the back, and other cops were coming around from the other side, and he just went to his car where he put his hands up, and it was all over. But going in there, he had no idea what was going to happen. If somebody was in there, if there was more than one person in there, if somebody was going to shoot him. And I thought there's a show on Showtime called Active Shooter now that he was on the first episode they did on these mass shootings we're having in this country, which is pretty serious stuff. We just had two more recently, certainly with the church and the Las Vegas shootings. So that was probably my favorite interview, talking to him, and it was very close.
How many years?
It sounded like you guys were very close, and it was like, I'm glad you're well, and I love you, and he said, I love you, and I said, I'll talk to you later, and that was it. So that's my favorite interview.
How many years has he been a police officer?
I don't know how many years. Quite a few. I mean, he's a lieutenant now, so it's, I don't know, 15 years? Quite a few. I can't answer that. A good question, but
no,
he's been there a long time.
That's an incredible story, and we're grateful to your son. The other question I have for you is, today, it is virtually impossible for anybody to retire, regardless of the industry they're in, regardless of the business they're in. All their plans for retirement for too many people were destroyed in 2008 when the crooks who run Lehman Brothers and other crooked banks destroyed our economy, when they destroyed our economy and our 401ks and our savings, destroyed by these billionaire bankers, none of whom went to jail. But you Now, and I've known, I've been in radio all my life like you. I have known only one other radio person, one, who actually retired and had the money, who had the money to retire. Now, you have multiple homes, don't you, John Lanigan? Multiple homes for
the Lanigan. I have two homes, not multiple. I do have two.
Multiple homes. You have a lanai.
I have a lanai. I'm sitting out in the patio right now by the pool.
In Florida.
In Florida, yes.
Well, Cleveland is freezing over, as you see.
I know. It's cold. I just had Paul Orlowski is a TV guy, and he just called me tonight to talk to me a little bit about the book. So I'm getting response from people all over, and that makes me happy.
Now,
I'm glad it's done, but I didn't really believe in it. So,
but
I have a couple of homes, so I saved a little money. I didn't get invested into it heavily when the whole thing went to hell in a handbasket. But I got a couple of people along the way I got to know through a friend here in Clearwater, Florida. They gave me a great investment group, and I put money with them. I sold a house there, and I bought a house here, and I put that money with them. There's another one in Cleveland that I went to, and he put my money into some savings for me. And so I came away with enough to have a very good retirement, and that's what I live on.
The discipline for a performer to be able to do that is almost unheard of. You only hear the horrible stories. Tell me, John, what advice would you give a new entertainer, somebody going to radio or TV today, recently out of college? How do you handle your money?
You know what? Nobody teaches that in school. They'll teach you algebra or some nonsense, but nobody teaches you how to do that. And we've said over and over again, there should be classes in school about what do you do with money and how do you save it. With what's coming up right now, a lot of them are still living at home because they don't have enough to pay off college debts. I went to college for a year and left. I didn't like it. I came out of there. I went to Nebraska for a year and went back home, and I said, this is it. And I went to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and got a job, and I was in Denver within a year, and I just had a good time. I wanted to work. So I didn't save a lot of money, and I didn't make a lot of money. When I went to Cleveland, when I replaced Don Imus in Cleveland, they hired me for $16,000. I'm coming from KRLD in Dallas. And Jack Thayer, my God's sake, the guy that saved my career, I swear to God, he hired me for that much money. And I can remember a cover on a Cleveland Plain Dealer on their Sunday edition had a cover of me on a clock with him saying he's racing to make $100,000 a year, which to me was a fortune. But eventually you got there, and during about 6 or 7 years, the money got really good. And I did make, if you're going to do something, you better be good at it, okay? If you want to make money and you want to retire, then you better be good at what you do, and you stick to it, and you're there every morning or every day or whatever it is, and you're reliable, and you do a good job. So for a period of time, I made a pretty good living, and I kept that money into an account that they helped grow, and we put it together, and I had Nationwide Insurance I worked with for quite a while. There was a pension there. There's an after pension. I mean, you have a lot of things if you plan for it that you'll have enough money to retire, and I do, I think, pretty well.
You are my hero, John Lanigan. The name of the book is Lanigan in the Morning. I will post it on my Facebook page and the Twitter feed. Thank you so much,
John. It's on Amazon. You can buy it on Amazon.com.
I've put that link up. I'll put it up on a number of places. John Lanigan, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I appreciate it. It is one of the great joys and indulgences that I get to talk to my heroes on this show, and I hope they get to share their great stories with you. All right, coming up in just seconds, I have three Thanksgiving stories that will make you feel better about yourself. Plus, coming up, a man who has been on 5 TV game shows and won money. And I'm going to share with you this unbelievable, horrible, and amazing phenomena of senior nomads. People who, in fact, are at retirement age, cannot retire, and are traveling from city to city like carny people trying to find work in their RVs. It is a frightening phenomena. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Every email is answered. Send yours to WalterMSterling@gmail.com.
All right. Can you guess who this is? Can you guess this voice?
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
888-688-WALT. Every call tonight will be given a chance to identify this voice.
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
If you get it right, you will be invited to the radio studio on December 10th to participate in a remarkable broadcast of Radio Legends. We're going to have a Christmas gift to me. You'll get to come up to the station. You will have Rizzo lasagna and Philadelphia deli corned beef, if you can guess who that is. Plus, you will get a prize announcement. Wait, there's more. And on December 10th, on the Walter M. Sterling Show, will be a stunning major announcement. It is an incredibly, maybe, no, by far the most important thing we've ever said on the show. A major announcement. A major prize.
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
888-688-WALT. 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 Now let's put some entertainment value into the show.
And now the Walter Sterling Event presents a brand new feature, How to Live on No Money at All.
Welcome to How to Live on Absolutely No Money at All. First caller, please.
I have $8 million in student loans, and my mother, who is disabled, won't give me any of her disability money.
Young man, I hope you're not making fun of the disabled.
No, but what should I do? I need to get out of this mess.
Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
Hello, I owe $45,000 in parole violations to the court, and my MasterCard debt is $23,000.
Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I have a Roth IRA with about $85,000 invested.
Next caller, please. That man was so rude. My store is going bankrupt, and I have no savings except in Spanish dublins. Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
We hope you have enjoyed our new feature, How to Live on Nothing. Next time on How to Live on Nothing.
Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
The special learning component of the Sterling Show is not affiliated with the Field family or Marshall Field or Lesbians in Space. And no union has filed a grievance.
All right, here's the question. Here's the question. Do you mention at Thanksgiving dinner that you voted for Donald Trump? That is what we are all wrestling with. Do we mention at Thanksgiving dinner that you voted for Donald Trump? Do you bring up the name Donald Trump at dinner? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. And can you identify who this is?
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday. That makes me Walter M. Sterling, and this is Westwood. Well, it's Thanksgiving week, and as a result of it being Thanksgiving week, everybody's very grumpy. Have you noticed that everybody's grumpy and a little off, and they have no sense of humor, and everything's very serious? Or is that just me? 888-688-WALT. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT is my phone number. And I do this show because I get to talk to you. That's why I do the show. Everybody who calls in tonight is going to be asked, who is this?
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
And if you know, you'll be able to be invited to the studio on December 10th, watch the show, meet radio legends. This is a great gift for major radio geeks. Plus, you and I are going to witness the most important announcement ever made on the radio. It's going to be stunning and spectacular. Plus, there'll be great food from the Rizzo family. Who is this?
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
Here's the topic. Because, you know, you got to have a topic at 888-688-WALT. We just can't have open phones Friday. We can't have open phones, America. That's out of control. There's no targeting of the cum if we do that. The topic is, do you dare say who you voted for at your Thanksgiving dinner? I have been told that I am not allowed to act like the Mad Daddy.
Hello to Bill in Glenhurst, who loves Rosemary Owen. Hello to Karen and Joan and Sharon and Brian and Jimmy from New Jersey. Hello to the Archangel.
I'm not allowed to act like that. If I act like that, everybody's going to leave. So I'm not allowed to say who I voted for at Thanksgiving. Not allowed. Are you going to say who you voted for at Thanksgiving dinner? Things get a little dull. You're tired of the 18th time you've heard the story about the dead grandmother who you never met. Or, my favorite, your father-in-law's theory about World War II. It's the father-in-law's theories about World War II that always set me over the edge and make me want to talk like the Mad Daddy.
Hello to Bill in Glenhurst, who loves Rose.
Instead, I'm supposed to talk like affable, lovable Pete Myers.
Veteran band singer Miss Helen O'Connell in one of her all-time great songs.
That's how I'm supposed to talk. Did you hear this?
Hello to Bill in Glenhurst.
Okay, and this?
Veteran band singer Miss Helen O'Connell.
Same guy. Can you believe that? It's the same guy. I will try not to say Donald Trump at dinner. Do you have the guts to say it at your Thanksgiving dinner? 888-688-WALT. I do this show because I love to talk to you. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Everybody who calls in will be asked, who is this?
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
And you'll have a chance to win. A pretty cool prize, actually. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Here we go. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Here you go. I have so many problems tonight speaking. Why do I have so many problems speaking? Well, first I need to say hello to my Midnight Misfits. Welcome Jeff Jacobs and Dennis Cote and Frankie Reds, Emily McNamara, Dee Wells, Keith Mortensen, Mimi Poplowski, Karen O'Neill, and Mr. Sneakers. Happy Thanksgiving. Elizabeth Johnson and Dee Wells, Justin Brandon, Bernadine Scott, welcome. And Robert Gaw and Frankie Reds. And Dad Billy and his gorgeous wife and his handsome children, welcome. Oh, and Michael Harrison. Our buddy Michael Harrison has a grandkid. Congratulations, Michael and Matthew, for having a grandchild. That's fantastic. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Did I ever tell you the Thanksgiving story about my Aunt Bertha? My Aunt Bertha is the same as your Aunt Bertha. Every family has an Aunt Bertha. She is the Bertha, she is the aunt, whose husband died a while ago. And she is alone. Now, my Aunt Bertha from Roselle Park, New Jersey, my Aunt Bertha was a woman of means. She was an accomplished woman. She owned retail stores, owned them, and ran them. And at this particular point in history, it was unusual because she was also on the board of directors of a local bank. A woman of accomplishment, but she also had two cars, even though she lived alone. She had the old Oldsmobile and the new Oldsmobile. And the new Oldsmobile, she only rode on the highway. The old Oldsmobile was for city driving, to go to Five Points in Union. It was for city driving. Aunt Bertha was a woman of means and an accomplishment, but you really didn't want her around because she had that old country sensibility. She had never had children. She did not know how to connect with children, and I was a children. But there was a part of me that always felt kind of bad if we didn't invite Aunt Bertha. I said to my mother, I think we should invite Aunt Bertha for Thanksgiving dinner. She didn't answer. The next day I said, I think we should invite Aunt Bertha for Thanksgiving dinner. Now, my mother tolerated Aunt Bertha. It was my father's aunt. My mother tolerated Aunt Bertha. And she said, all right, you invite her. No, there was problem number one. I was in trouble number one. I had to invite Aunt Bertha, the maiden aunt, the childless aunt to Thanksgiving. Husband died several years ago. Aunt Bertha also had a Jersey mouth. What did that mean? Unfiltered. She was on the spectrum. She would say what she felt about a situation. Because, remember, she was a woman of means. She really didn't need us. But I felt bad for Aunt Bertha. I called Aunt Bertha. I said, would you come over for Thanksgiving dinner? Now, the one thing I know for sure about my mother, my Jersey mother, is that she was a fantastic cook. I have never had day-to-day real food. I'm not talking about French fancy cuisine. I'm talking about normal food. I never had better normal food than my mother. It's not a casual thing. My mother made great food. We invite over Aunt Bertha. And my mother says, I bet she's going to complain about the turkey. Oh, no, she'd never do that. That's all my mother said. And then my mother said, when Aunt Bertha arrived, you're sitting next to her. Okay. Now, Aunt Bertha's all on me. And my Aunt Bertha arrives, and she's one of these women who's large, and she has waddle under her chin, and she has waddle under her arms, and waddle on her stomach. And when Aunt Bertha stopped walking, or when she sat down, the waddle kept moving. Now Aunt Bertha and her waddle sits next to me. And she's eating. She also had strange clothes. She had a modern dress, but then she put like a doily collar on it, you know, and she smelled old. And she had on one of those crocheted sweaters, white crocheted sweaters, and the big, thick, heavy shoes and the industrial type pantyhose that they don't make anymore. It was a whole package with Aunt Bertha. And nobody really knew how to talk to her or what to do. You have a relative like this, don't you? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Let's talk about your Thanksgiving, Aunt Bertha's, and whether or not you are going to bring up who you voted for president at your dinner. Now Aunt Bertha's sitting there, and she's eating. And she's not saying a lot, which is good. And I'm not saying a lot because I have to be nice.
Veteran band singer Miss Helen O'Connell in one of her all-time great songs. That's all of me. Marianne Evans in the orchestra.
I have to think like that. And I have to speak like that. I can't speak like this.
Hello to Bill in Glenhurst, who loves...
Can't speak like that. They're taking away the plates. My brother and I are helping to take away the plates at Thanksgiving. And we've gotten scot-free through a dinner with Aunt Bertha. There have been no wars in the dinner with Aunt Bertha. My large great aunt Bertha, a woman of means, and doily collars, and waddle. And my mother says, well, I hope that was good, because she would never say, how'd you like it, because she didn't care. And she'd never say, was it good, because she knew it was good. So she'd say something vague, like, well, I hope that was okay with you. That's how she'd say it. She'd say, I hope that was okay with you. That's how my mother would have said it. And Aunt Bertha looked at my mother, and Aunt Bertha said, remember, my mother said she's going to say something about the turkey, which was perfect. The turkey was perfect. She's going to say something about the turkey. Aunt Bertha looks up and goes, well, the turkey was a little dry. Walter M. Sterling at 866. No, it isn't. It's at 888-688-WALT. Do you dare say who you voted for when you're sitting down with the extended family at Thanksgiving? Do you dare say who you voted for? Are you going to bring that up? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Let's you and I talk. I'm live, by the way. It's 17 past the hour on a Sunday night, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And my kids have the whole week off. That is the ninth circle of hell. Could there be any greater hell than my kids being home all week? All week.
Let's go, 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 go.
All right, now you got You've made the mistake of inviting all your extended relatives over to your house, haven't you? Let's have them all to our house this year. Okay, that's great, Billy. We're going to have all our relatives over to our house this year. And you know what that means? That means you're going to have 10 snotty-nosed kids running through your house for a day, 2 days, 3 days, maybe you've been spiritually generous and said, you know, they should come over for the whole weekend. Maybe that's what you've decided to do. They should come over for the whole weekend. Let's have them over for the whole 4 days. You're going to have 8-year-olds in your house and 82-year-olds in your house. And you know what that means? You better pray the 8-year-old gets sick. Because if the 82-year-old gets sick, that's a real problem. The 8-year-old probably will recover. The 82-year-old, that's a problem. And then the 82-year-old or the 72-year-old or you says, gee, I forgot my prescription. I need my prescription. I need my diabetes medicine. I need my migraine medicine. I got a migraine here. Isn't it great way after they eat your food, they go, I got a migraine here. What am I going to do? Oh, my God, what am I going to do? And it's Friday night of Thanksgiving weekend or Saturday afternoon of Thanksgiving weekend, and you need a doctor. The prescription needs to be filled now. The 8-year-old's running 102 temperature. You need to see a doctor now. Did you hear me? Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. What are you going to do? You're going to go to the ER? You're going to take your relatives to the ER? And sit next to a gang member with a bullet wound, dripping blood on the floor. Is that what you're going to do? No. What you're going to do is elegant and simple. You're going to say, I can get you a doctor right now. What a hero you're going to be if you can say to your sick nephew or niece or your relative who's 80 who needs her prescription refilled right now. What a hero you're going to be when you say, I have a doctor right here. It's in my cell phone. Let's call the doctor together. And you call the doctor together, and there on Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, you have a doctor. And it's thanks to Digital Doc, DOC247. Digital Doc, DOC247. You go online to Digital Doc 247 right now. Get ready for the weekend now. And you sign up. For about $20 a month, you get the phone number of a doctor in your state. Licensed to give prescriptions right now in your state, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. About $20 a month. How many times can you call the doctor? As many times as you want. It's one price per month, $20, about $20. You call the doctor as many times as you want. You call the doctor as often as you want, and you stay on the phone as long as you want. And you can send the doctor photos of your condition, that rash that you don't want your wife to see. You can send photos or videos of the kid. What's that tongue look like? And you can talk to them on the phone. Your own doctor. When you sign up for Digital Doc 247, Digital Doc 247, DigitalDoc247.com, when you go there, you sign up, you're going to get a phone number. You're going to get your own doctor. And if you live in New Jersey, and you have to go to Illinois, to WLS land for Thanksgiving, no problem. Your doctor travels with you. Digital Doc 247. But sign up now, so you're not going through a sign-up process when there's an emergency. Get the information, get the phone number, get it in your phone now. Digital Doc 247. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you and I are going to talk at 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. This is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. See Walter's secret filthy thoughts on Twitter during the show. Follow on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling.
All right, there's Keith Kennedy from Akron, Ohio. Thank you very much for loving the John Lanigan interview. You can hear any of our past shows at waltermsterling.com, waltermsterling.com. We archive them. Our archivist, Lee Harris, makes them beautiful, makes these much better shows than they deserve to me. There's Mary in St. Louis listening on KMOX. Hi, Mary. This is Walter Sterling, and you're on Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Mary. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling about the your Aunt Bertha. We had a
yes.
You had just had Grandma.
Yes. What was that like?
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Do you hear me now? Do you hear me?
Yes, I'm a little better.
All right. Listen,
that was actually, it's kind of funny because that's one of the things that my grandma would do. She was a trophy wife of the 20s who found herself very disappointed when the Great Depression hit, and she found her station in life much diminished and was ever disappointed all the way until she was older, and she'd been married a long time to my grandpa, and it just didn't matter what happened at Thanksgiving dinner or any dinner that she was present at. And my folks had brought them out to Colorado to take care of them in their elderly age, and there was always something
Mary, wait,
she couldn't leave my grandpa alone. There was something he was going to do wrong. We weren't sure what it was.
Exactly.
But there was something my grandpa was going to do wrong.
Thank you very much for calling. This is Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Do you dare mention who you voted for at your Thanksgiving dinner? I will if things get boring. 888-688-WALT on Westwood 1.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Sundays. That's why it doesn't sound like Thursday afternoon. Sterling on Sunday.
You know, it's so bizarre and sad about program directors in America. So many of them. Not talking about Peter Thiel. I'm not talking about Peter Bolger. I'm not talking about Bill Hess. Not talking about real program directors. I'm talking about the rest of them. They go, well, you know, that Sterling on Sunday show, well, it's very interesting, and it is Walter, you know. Yeah, you all owe me your friggin' jobs. It is kind of interesting, but it doesn't sound like, you know, a modern talk show. Let me help you with this. Your modern talk shows, what are they getting? One shares. Congratulations on those one shares. The old-fashioned talk show, by the way, that modern talk show is the one I invented in 1990. That was a while ago. Now we can evolve it to something different and more fun that does things like this.
And now, the Walter Sterling event presents a brand new feature, How to Live on No Money at All.
Welcome to How to Live on Absolutely No Money at All. First caller, please.
I have $8 million in student loans, and my mother, who is disabled, won't give me any of her disability money.
Young man, I hope you're not making fun of the disabled.
No, but what should I do? I need to get out of this mess.
Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
Hello, I owe $45,000 in parole violations to the court, and my MasterCard debt is $23,000.
Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I have a Roth IRA with about $85,000 invested.
Next caller, please. That man was so rude. My store is going bankrupt, and I have no savings except in Spanish doubloons. Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
We hope you have enjoyed our new feature, How to Live on Nothing. Next time on How to Live on Nothing.
Buy an old car and invest your last nickel in my CD course called How to Buy an Old Car and Live on Nothing. Thanks for calling.
The special learning component of the Sterling Show is not affiliated with the Field family or Marshall Field or Lesbians in Space. And no union has filed a grievance.
Well, there's Raj at WMAL in Washington. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Hi, Raj.
Hello, Walter.
Yes.
You have done a beautiful job talking about Aunt Bertha and how you remember all Thanksgiving the past years. I prepared for this Thanksgiving at our last Thanksgiving. and I let it be known how much each of us cared or did not care for Donald J. Trump, but I didn't think we should discuss that anymore.
So you've made the decision you're not going to discuss this at Thanksgiving. Well, then I have a very important question.
No, I made it known at the previous Thanksgiving.
That you're not going to do it this year.
Yes, that we won't do it next year.
That's a very good decision, Raj. 888-688-WALT. Now, I have a question for you. Do you know this is, Raj? Do you know who this is?
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
Do you know who that is, Raj?
I don't, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate, because if you did, you could have won a great prize, and the great prize is this. On December 10th, we're going to have a very special Sterling on Sunday. Very special. And by the way, this show is live on WMAL and other great radio stations at 39 minutes past the hour, the Mary Walter radio station in Washington, D.C. I know the other talent, but I can never remember their names. But I remember Mary Walter mornings on WMAL, run by Bill Hess. Yes, Bill Hess. You owe me an email. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. On December 10th, we're going to have a very special show, a very special Sterling on Sunday. We're going to have radio legends, great radio broadcasters, and radio guys have the best stories. And I only indulge on this once a year. I only let myself do a radio show once a year. I view it as a Christmas gift to me. And you're going to hear the best stories. Plus, there will be a major announcement on the December 10th show that I am absolutely, God help me, I am not allowed to reveal before December 10th. But it's a major announcement. If you can guess who this is when you call in.
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
You can join us on December 10th. What will you get? You'll get to watch the show, which means that instead of just sitting like a slob through the show, I will have to sit straight and hold in my stomach. And number two, you will get to eat Rizzo lasagna from the Rizzo family, plus corned beef sandwiches from a real deli, not the place you go to, not from the supermarket. Are those the worst sandwiches from the supermarket? They're never thick enough. They never put on enough condiments. It's a disaster. It's a nightmare.
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
What are you trying to say?
688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. You going to call that Alex guy for me? We need to talk to that Alex guy. 888-688-WALT. Now, let me tell you this story. There's an incredible story about a man named Chuck Stout. And Chuck Stout started working at McDonald's in 1960. And he was a garbage kid. He was one of those kids who took out the garbage. And Chuck Stout worked his way up at McDonald's. He went from garbage boy to French fry maker to burger cook to cashier. He became a manager, then a supervisor, then a field consultant, then a professor at Hamburger University. And then he became director of product development for the entire corporation. The entire corporation. And the next year, his team, Chuck Stout's team at McDonald's, brought out the ice cream sundae. This gave him a big bonus and a letter from Roy Kroc saying, good job. Eventually, Chuck got fed up with the corporate culture. Good for him. And told his supervisors he wanted to go back to the field, and he ran a McDonald's in Columbia, Pennsylvania. When the World Trade Centers were hit, he rushed to Manhattan, where for 3 days he loaded up Egg McMuffins, hash browns, and coffee, first onto a luggage trolley, then a golf cart, and hauled them down to the debris pit to feed the rescuers. The experience felt like a capstone to Chuck's more than 40 years with McDonald's. And then he decided to retire in 2002. And then in 2008, listen to me, in 2008, Chuck Stout, who had been head of product development for McDonald's, he gets a call from the crooks at Wells Fargo. And that brought the 2008 financial crisis crashing down on his head. He had invested $250,000 in a nest egg in a fund that was supposedly to guarantee him $4,000 a month in his retirement. And this is what the clowns at Wells Fargo said to him. They said, you have no more money. And he says, what do you want? And then the banker said, what do you want us to do? Unable to think of a better answer, Chuck told them to shove his foot up his butt. And then he hung up. His girlfriend had also lost her savings of $200,000 in investments. Now here you have the guy who had been head of new product development at McDonald's, Chuck Stout, had worked there 40 years. And because of the crooked bankers of Lehman Brothers and other banks who destroyed the value of mortgages and homes throughout America, 4 million homes were foreclosed on. Over 4 million homes by these crooks were destroyed. The value was destroyed. They were foreclosed on. Over 1.5 million of them senior citizens. That was their nest egg. They lost everything. And not one of those crooks went to jail. Not one of those crooks went to jail. Not one. Not one. You know what Chuck does now? He's part of Camper Force. He's part of Amazon's nomadic retiree army. It used to be at the turn of the century you heard about carnival workers. You know, big, strong guys who had tattoos on their arms and bearded ladies. They'd go work the carny circuit. Well, guess what? Now your grandfather is a carny. Now millions of senior citizens are traveling the country in their leaking RVs, often working at Amazon distribution centers, $8 or $9 an hour. Physical labor. Some of them as old as 80 years of age. Alex, you're a big shot labor attorney. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Alex,
thank you.
What protection does a senior citizen working in Camper Force going to Amazon to work for 3 months at a time during the fourth quarter right now, what possible protection do these people have?
Unfortunately, zilch. The American dream, right? And I've just been listening to what you were saying. It's terrible. Some of these people should have gone to jail. But the only protections that people have are that they have to be paid their minimum wage and they have to be paid their time and a half for every hour worked in excess of 40 hours, which is overtime rate. That's it.
Now, let me ask you a question, Alex. Pronounce your last name for me.
Umansky.
Umansky.
Yes.
Right? Right.
Yes.
All right. Now, Alex Umansky is a big deal labor attorney. There was a new law put in the state of New York and maybe other states that I applaud. And, you know, I hate all laws. I hate all labor. I don't hate lawyers because lawyers have saved my butt almost every hour of my life. So I'm not one of those who hates lawyers. And my father-in-law, get a load of this. My father-in-law is the most successful litigator in the state of Ohio. He has never lost a jury trial. And you know what that means for me, Alex? No divorce. There will never be a divorce because, you know, he looks at me with those lawyer eyes. Now, listen, Alex, there's a new law in the state of New York that I applaud. I have hired hundreds of people, and I'd be happy to report to you I've never been sued for nothing because I'm a good boss. But here's the deal. I have never asked what I've always felt was the most morally bankrupt question possible. And the most morally bankrupt question possible to me is, well, what are you earning now? I've never asked it, and I would never answer it. And now the state of New York says it is illegal to answer that question. How do you feel about that law?
It's a great law. It hasn't gone into effect yet. The mayor signed it in New York in May, and it will go into effect on the 180-day anniversary, which would be the beginning of January 2018. The reason for it, and I think many people would know, is that when you ask about salary history, all it does is perpetuate lower salaries for women and minorities and people of color. So those that are making lower salaries in the past, and you ask them about salary history, you're going to give them a little bit more than what they were making, and that's just unfair.
Well, it's morally bankrupt in another way, because first of all, what I've always told my friends, and the reason I never answered it, is, wait a minute, what I'm paid by my current employer is a trade secret. They don't want me telling a competitor or another company what I'm making. So I'd always say, I'm sorry, that's a trade secret. I signed a confidentiality agreement, and I would protect your secrets, too. Number two, I'm not up for the job I already have. I'm not going for the job. I've never understood the question. I'd never have the nerve to ask that question. Is any other place besides New York City enforcing that law?
As of now, only New York City. But I'm sure other states will follow.
And it's a lot of bunk that it's a lot of bunk that it hurts minorities. It hurts everybody. As a fat, middle-aged white man, it would hurt me to answer that question. And it's just ridiculous. Now, one quick question for you, Alex, and I'm going to put information about your law practice on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. A shocking number of people get fired this week. This is a big getting fired this week. If you get fired, what are the steps you should take?
Well, first, what you want to do is you want to get, if possible, the reason for the termination. Because if there's any illegality, you want the employer to put something in writing, even if it's an email or a letter, stating what their reason for termination is. Then you should contact an employment attorney and go through, ask as many questions as possible, and you may have a case, but it's all fact-specific.
Shouldn't you keep your big mouth shut for a week and just let it set in? Don't people screw up by talking about it and gossiping about it?
People always screw up. That's why if you ever have any doubt, if you ever feel that the employer is doing something wrong, even if it's just a feeling, you don't have evidence yet, speak to an attorney rather than walking around making complaints, doing things that you probably shouldn't be doing.
Keep your big mouth shut.
They will set you up and they will get rid of you.
Exactly. All right. Thanks very much, Alex. I'm going to put information about your firm and you on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page and on our Twitter feed. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, Ryan Recker is going to hear a stunning story about his boss at KMOX on Sterling on Sunday on Westwood.
Sterling on Sundays. Mr. Advertiser, your endorsement goes here.
All right, here we go. Well, look at this. There's Susan and Sal. And it's Susan and Sal's first anniversary. Can you do a shout-out for us on the air? Yes. Susan and Sal, welcome to your first anniversary. Congratulations. Obviously, you're not having sex, which is why you're listening to me now at 11:56 Eastern Time, Sterling on Sunday. Now, look at this. Oh, my gosh, look at this. What has happened to your career, Ryan Recker, that you're on with Sterling on Sunday?
For having me on.
Yeah. Now, what did you do wrong in your career that you have to be on with me? How did that happen? Because you were like a very big guy in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, but now look at how things are looking up. I mean, I'm here with you now. Everything's going well.
It's true. You could be like...
Hello to Bill in Glenhurst, who loves Rosemary Owen. Hello to...
You could be like the Mad Daddy.
Hello to Bill in Glenhurst, who loves Rosemary Owen. Hello to Karen...
Do you realize you're on the same show that John Lanigan was on and Bob Surratt on the same show?
That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you a Steve Moore story. Ryan Recker does the late night show on KMOX in St. Louis, the number one radio station in St. Louis. Many try, but KMOX remains the number one radio station, and Entercom is going to maintain it as the number one radio station by investing a tremendous amount in the news department. Now, here's the deal, Ryan Recker. I mentioned to your boss, Steve Moore, I said we have a new affiliate, KARN, in Little Rock, run by Peter Thiel. And I mentioned that Peter Thiel's a brilliant program director, like Steve Moore, the program director of KMOX, because he hired you, Ryan Recker. I mentioned to Steve Moore, I said, you realize that I get about 20% of our phone calls, at least one out of five phone calls on Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. At least one out of five comes from Little Rock, Arkansas. The minute they went online, I got about one out of five calls from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hmm.
And I then told Steve Moore the reason for this. Would you like to know, Ryan Recker on KMOX, the reason that KARN delivers at least one out of five of our calls?
Now, is this an actual reason, or is it more like a conspiracy theory?
No, it's an actual reason.
I'd love
ready?
To hear it.
You ready? KARN runs a promo for the show once an hour, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And you know what Steve Moore said?
Hmm.
Involuntarily, he said, don't they have anything else to promote? And then he caught himself. Sterling on Sunday, Westwood One.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Here's how you join. You send me an email to waltermsterling@gmail.com. And give me your real address. No, I'm not going to give it out. I'm not going to sell it. Give me your real address, and you will get a Midnight Misfit membership card. It will be new and improved. It will have a decoder code. And soon I will start giving out code that you will only be able to decode with the decoder card. The Midnight Misfit decoder card, because you and I are special. We're working the third shift. We're just coming home from the second shift. Isn't this the worst time of year to be working the third shift? Why? Well, the Christmas party's at 9 p.m. Well, what does that do to my sleep? That really messes me up. You're working the third shift at the University Hospital. You're working the third shift at Presbyterian. You're working the third shift at St. Joe's. It's not good at Christmas time. It's a tough time of year. You're working the third shift at FedEx, UPS. But we're all in it together. It's just us. All the grown-ups have gone to bed. The people who fill out forms have gone to bed. The people who hand out forms, they're gone to bed. All the rules keeper and, oh, my gosh, the HR lady was asleep at 8:30. When you and I are getting up, the HR lady, she's going to bed. She doesn't have a clue about what you and I do. Not a clue. Here, fill out this form. Be sure to follow these rules and be SOX compliant. Hey, Neil Pohl, Charles King, Charlie Green, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Rebecca Canner. I love Rebecca Canner. It's great that you're here. And Elizabeth Johnson, Dan Gaffney, Howard Bloom, Karen O'Neill. Happy Thanksgiving, Karen. And Mr. Sneakers, you too. I hope you get extra food. Jason Rushing, Carl Nappy, Long Scott Michael, welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. And you and I are here to celebrate the third shift, to celebrate the end of the second shift. I'm live. No one else is live. Those cute little silly FM stations that go out 40 miles, those are silly little stations. This is, that was, here's Katy Perry, stupid. This is real radio. You and I are committing actual radio right now. Have you ever fantasized about being on a game show, winning fast cash on a game show? I got a friend here, Sam Greenfield, who has been on 5 game shows. Welcome, Sam. Happy Thanksgiving.
And same to you and many, many more. And remember, the secret ingredient in all turkey is tryptophan. That's the enzyme that makes Uncle Lou fall asleep with his mouth open on the recliner while the children throw popcorn in it.
And that's something to look forward to. My big debate is, do I say who I voted for president? That's my big debate.
Well, it depends on the size of the group. I am amazingly blessed, and I believe that everyone coming to this dinner voted against him. And so it'll be peaceful. But, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I know people who stopped inviting people who voted against them.
I know. Sam Greenfield is a great broadcaster and a great friend. How many game shows have you been on?
I've been on 5.
And how many have you won money on?
5.
Take us through each of them quickly, please. I can't wait to hear this. I want to hear tips you may have. And by the way, let me just say this. If you want to be on a game show, If you've imagined being on a game show and you want to ask an expert how to do it, how he won, here's your phone number, 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Sam, tell us your story.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, tell us your story.
Okay, well, first let me run them down very quickly. On, let me see. On a $25,000 pyramid, I won $15,000. On America's Funniest People, I won $10,000. On Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I won $100,000. On America's Funniest People. On, let me see. Oh, Cash Cab, I won $800. Well, my wife and I won $800. And on one that was before everyone's time except ours, it's a show called Money Maze, which came out in the 70s. And that was that show was so long ago that George Clooney's father was the host, Nick Clooney, who's a broadcaster out of the Cincinnati area. And on that one, we won a car, a trip to England, a trip to Greece, $10,000 in cash, a car which is no longer made, because people don't like to die. So those are the five. Those are the five. Now, here's my tips. If you are not great, let me repeat that word. If you are not great at this show when you watch it at home, don't do this. Don't take the time, unless you live in New York and it's not a big deal. But I know people who, when I took the test for Millionaire, I know people who drove here from Binghamton to take the test, and they flunked. Now, it's one thing if you flunk. There's like 30 questions, I think. It's one thing to flunk if you miss by two. Some of these people were telling me, I think I only got three right. Why would you get in your car and just for the experience of near spend $30 on parking for the half hour you're there? It's not worth it. And most shows demand eventually that you show up in person. But if they want to see if, you know, you have the look and style of a serial killer, they may not want you on the show. That's a very important part of this. There's a certain personality to different shows. Price is Right, they want people who have a heart attack if they win a toaster. Jeopardy, they want people who are mildly happy when they win $45,000. You don't see a lot of fist pumping on that show. You don't see a lot of fist pumping on Jeopardy. You know, somebody wins, you don't see a lot of, yeah, there's none of that. There's none of that. So, in fact, those people are discouraged from, you know, getting on the show. Now, a show like Jeopardy, you have to have a really wide, and Millionaire, you have to have a wide breadth and depth of general knowledge in order to do those shows. The other shows, you really don't. I mean, some people are very good at word games. That would help you on a lot of these shows. So that's my advice. If you're really good at it, go for it. But please don't waste your own time.
Sam Greenfield has been on five game shows. If you have questions about getting on a game show, behaving on a game show, winning on a game show, the number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. What surprised you most? Like when you went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, what surprised you most about that game that's on set versus on TV?
I was amazed at how, and this isn't a pat on the back for myself, I think that the situation begets this, how focused I was. And I think that would be true of anybody who does well on the show. The lights are just as you see them on TV. They're completely out, except for the ultra-high-def screen that you're reading from, that you see on TV, you know, when they ask the question of the four choices. The laser focus you developed, because all I heard was her voice. All I heard was Meredith Vieira's voice. And as far as I knew, someone could catch on fire and run through the audience, I wouldn't have noticed. It is dead silent. And
what was the question on Millionaire that stumped you?
It was, which one of these states does not require you to register to vote? Which is such a, I almost get the feeling.
It's a really good question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I almost get the feeling. I mean, my wife says that I'm insane about this, but you know, they go, we don't want him on the show anymore. Give him one that no one on the planet will answer.
All right.
I'll tell you. Oh, here's a tip. If you get on the show, let's say like Millionaire, don't discuss your weak points and strong points out loud in the green room. There's a producer there.
And
if they want to get you off the show and they hear you saying, God, I hope they don't ask questions about religion. I suck at it. Next thing you'll know, in book 13, you know, you're dead. You're gone. So don't do that.
All right, we're talking to the great Sam Greenfield, who's been on 5 television game shows and won money. Nobody wins money. 888-688-WALT. If you have questions about succeeding, getting on a game show, Cash Cab. I don't know if you've seen Cash Cab, but Cash Cab is the game where a cab in New York City is going down the street. People hail the cab. They get in the cab. Oh, my gosh, the lights go crazy inside the cab, and they're on Cash Cab. They have to answer questions, and as long as they get them right, they win money. When they get them wrong, they have to get out of the cab. I'm looking at it like, how do they get release forms? How do they get permission slips? How the heck could it possibly work? How does Cash Cab work, Sam?
Well, this is how it worked for us. I can't speak for everybody, but this is how it worked for me and my wife. My wife found out about an audition, an ostensible audition, ersatz audition, for two people to host a show about New York City. And so we auditioned for it, because my wife's a performer, and we auditioned for it, and then they gave us a mini quiz about the city of New York, where's Grand Central Station, things like that. And we took that, and then about a week later, they called us. We still didn't know it was Cash Cab, by the way. We had no idea it was Cash Cab. They called us and said, listen, we'd like you to do a live audition. We're going to have you do a review of and show the restaurant Angelo and Maxie's. And that's it. That was, I don't know if it's still around, but it was or is at 19th and Park Avenue South. And they were supposed to be doing the restaurants in our neighborhood. Now, that's not in our neighborhood, but I said, you know something, it's not my show. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. So they said they would send a town car for us, which is a standard practice in a lot of news shows. They, when I was on the radio and they wanted me to be on MSNBC, they send a car for you. So that didn't surprise me. So 10 minutes later, this woman calls up and says, same woman, we can't find a town car. So I said, hold on for a second. I put my hand over the receiver, and I said to my wife, this is a scam. You can't find a town car in New York City? I can walk outside and get run over by one. I don't believe you. I didn't say it to her, but I don't buy this. I don't buy it at all. So I got back on, and I said, what would you like us to do? She said, why don't you walk up a few blocks to Pitt Street, and maybe there will be a cab there. I live on the tip of New York City. There's not a lot of cabs down here. So once again, I said to my wife, I think we're going to get mugged. So we walk up to Pitt Street, and son of a gun, there's a cab. We almost never see cabs down here. And the cab comes, and we hail it, and we get in, and boom, it's Cash Cab.
And that's how they worked it. They scammed you in a different way. Well, that's pretty cool. Sam Greenfield, I appreciate it very much. Sam has shared with us secret information about being on game shows, and I'm going to put contact information for you at waltermsterling.com, waltermsterling@gmail, waltermsterling@gmail, and then on the Facebook page of Walter M. Sterling, and then on the Twitter feed. I mean, we're going to be crazy social media. Wait, there's Jerry from WLS. Do you have a question for Sam Greenfield, Jerry?
Yes, I do. My question has to do with Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
Any of the contestants speak about buzzer and being so difficult to be the contestant selected. Can you tell me why that is?
Could you do me a favor? Could you repeat the question?
Sure. The buzzer, any of the contestants talk about being the, if more than one person buzzes in, it's difficult. I guess it's the timing. Do you have any idea why it's so difficult with the buzzer?
Yes, I do. And thank you for the question, Jerry. The buzzer is the key to Jeopardy. Besides knowing the answers or the questions, I guess, is how to time that buzzer. You have to time it the second the question is finished. Not before. The second, the nanosecond it's finished, As the last sound leaves Alex Trebek's lips, bang, you got to come in. And what you will see happen on the show is people either try to do it and are beaten to the punch by someone else, and those are the people you see on the show frantically pressing their button like it doesn't work. Because they can't believe, frankly, that you know, they weren't fast enough. That's the way that game is played. I mean, that's it. You know.
Sam Greenfield, you're a great guest. You're a good friend. I wish you and your wife and your daughter a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And coming up in just seconds, I have an amazing story for you about the most frightening Thanksgiving contest ever held on the radio. That's coming up in just seconds. Plus, David Cassidy is sick, and he might be dying in the hospital. And therefore, at 12:45, your choice is going to be, do we play a David Cassidy record, or do we play a David Cassidy song, or do we play a David Cassidy cut? In just seconds on Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday on Facebook. Walter M. Sterling. Post your Facebook comments at Walter M. Sterling.
All right. You have all these idiots coming over. Oh, I mean your family coming over for Thanksgiving. And there's Gigi, Matt DeSantis' mom, who's feverishly looking for the new Walter M. Sterling podcast, which you can find at Apple, at iTunes. Walter M. Sterling. The name of the podcast is Old Dad Secrets. Old Dad Secrets, because you see, I'm the oldest father at three different schools. I'm the oldest father at the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school. I have all daughters. Pray for me. Every night before you go to sleep, please be sure to, please be sure to pray for me. Walter M. Sterling. The iTunes is the podcast. I'm looking at something here. I'm like, really? Is that true? Hold on a second. I'm looking at the iTunes. Anyway, it's Walter M. Sterling. That's my name. And my podcast is called Old Dad Secrets. Old Dad Secrets. And I think you'll have fun with it. More importantly, I hope you download it, because then we can start to sell it. Adam Gilbert, would you sell it, please? My kids need Christmas gifts. Oh, my gosh. How much more engagement do I have to do here? Over the four-day Thanksgiving holiday, when you have relatives in your house, when you've made the big mistake of having relatives in your house, guess what? They're going to get sick. You have six kids in there with those runny noses in November. They're going to get sick. Each of them is going to get sick. One of them might come down with the flu or pneumonia. And now it's Friday night. It's Friday night of Thanksgiving weekend, or worse, it's Sunday afternoon. And you need a doctor. You have to get a prescription. One of the kids running a fever. Or the 80-year-old is coughing so bad you think the 80-year-old's going to die. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the hospital? You're going to go to an ER on Thanksgiving weekend? You know who's in the ER? The doctors who have their degrees from the Caribbean, from the Canary Islands. Those are the ones who get to work Thanksgiving weekend. Or worse, more terrifying, a physician's assistant. Well, what are you? Are you the doctor? I'm a physician's assistant. What do you mean you're physician's assistant? Do you run to get coffee? Do you type 80 words a minute? I don't want a typist taking care of me. A physician's assistant. No, I never want a physician's assistant. Do you understand? Never. Under any conditions. You go to the ER or to urgent care on a four-day holiday, you're going to get the physician's assistant. I type 80 words a minute. That's how I got the job. Oh, good for you. What you want to do right now is go to digitaldoc.com, and sign up now, and you will be able to get your own doctor licensed to your state to give you prescriptions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What a hero you'll be to your family when you can say, that's no problem. I got a doctor. I'll call him right now. Digital Doc, D-O-C, Digital Doc 247, Digital Doc 247. This is Westwood One.
Sterling on Sundays. Stick Walter in your ear all week. Download the podcast. Get it from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad from iTunes.
You and I can stay in touch during the weekend. We should. Here's my email address, waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Now, this brings up a very important point. When my show was just on a CBS station, I said, well, why don't I have a cbsradio.com email? And I got gobbledygook, because it helps me book the show to have a CBS radio email. Then when I make a deal with Westwood One, Craig Kitchen steps up to the plate, gets me a deal with Westwood One. And I say, am I a Westwood One host? Yes, you are. And there I am on the Westwood One website. It says Sterling on Sunday. Oh, my gosh. And then I say, can I have a Westwood One email address? Yes, you can. Can I have Westwood One business cards? Yes, you can. 6 weeks later, I'm like, where's my Westwood One email address? Oh, well, there's some, problems with IT. IT is very concerned about the security of the system and the Westwood One email addresses. Very concerned about that. Yeah, we'll make up some other stories. Baloney! If I have to say Westwood One going to every commercial break, and I have to make a podcast for you each week that says Westwood One, number one, post it on the podcast page like grown-ups. Man up and put it on the podcast page. And number two, give me your Westwood One email address. Fine. They didn't. 2 weeks ago, I go on the air and I say, if you have a retail business, if you have a small business, if you're a dentist, a doctor, a consultant, an architect, a funeral director, why don't you let me use your email address? Because I do not want to promote Gmail every time I go on the air. Over 58 stations, half the country, why should I say Gmail? Why should I promote your business? If you would like to let me use your email address, then every time I go on the air, I'm going to be saying the name of your paint store or your auto dealership or your funeral home. I said this 2 weeks ago, and Bob Elkins from Indiana, who runs a funeral home, called in and said, you can use ours. And I said, great. And then, between my organizational skills and AJ's organizational skills, we immediately lost Bob Elkins' information. Now, Bob Elkins runs a funeral home in Indiana where he's very proud of the fact they also do cremations. Bob, if you would please call back in, if I could make a direct appeal, which I'm not allowed to you to call in at 888-688-WALT. Bob Elkins, 888-688-WALT, will get the information from you. And then for at least a month, I will use the Elkins Funeral Home as my email address, because God help the SOX-compliant a-holes from letting me use the Westwood One email. God help them. Oh, my God, that would just be terrible. Listen, I used to be a corporate suit. I know all about these stupid rules. And you know what? I never enforced stupid rules. I knew what was legal and what wasn't. And then just in case I was wrong, I'm the only idiot in the world who's not a lawyer who actually read the Sarbanes-Oxley law. I actually read all 262 pages of it. It says nothing about the email. Nothing. Nothing. There's no IT issue. And there would be no IT issues if you'd all use a Mac. If you'd all use Apple servers, there'd be no IT problems. But, you know, all the IT guys, they want to use PCs. They all want everybody to use PCs because with a PC, they can get inside and they can fix things. Newsflash! With an Apple server, you don't have to fix anything. It just works. It just works with an Apple server. So if you know Bob Elkins of Indiana, who runs a funeral home, tell Bob to call me at 888-688-WALT. I would like to very much use the Elkins Funeral Home as my email address. 888-688-WALT. This reminds me of the first time I ever learned about contest winners and union rules and stupidity. All at once. I was 20 years old. I was a very lucky kid. I got my first job in radio in New York City at an FM station in New York City. It was at 40th and Broadway. And what we did was we gave away a turkey an hour for like 3 weeks. You call in, you say the magic words, you win the turkey. We gave away 100 turkeys. 100 turkeys. We had gone to it, and I also learned everything I needed to know about salespeople. God love you, Adam Gilbert. Would you sell something, please? I learned everything I needed to know about salespeople. Salespeople, unions, bureaucracy, New York City, and contest winners, all in one lesson. Here was what happened. You ready? We gave away 100 turkeys on the air. Every hour for 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, we gave away a turkey on this big FM station in New York. Those of you in radio, it was 99X. 99X. WOR-FM. It's at 40th and Broadway. The epicenter of traffic jams in New York City is 40th Street and Broadway. It's two blocks from Times Square, and now it's Thanksgiving. Disaster. And we give them away. We give them away. And I go to the sales guy. I say, I have to give the winners these turkeys. Where are the certificates? What do you mean certificates? Gift certificates for the turkeys. Who'd you cut a trade for? Who'd you cut a deal for so that we could get the gift certificates for the turkeys? The sales guy looks at me and says, I didn't get gift certificates. You said you wanted turkeys. Yeah? What's that mean? Well, it means that tomorrow they're going to deliver 100 turkeys to the radio station. They're going to deliver 100 frozen turkeys to the radio station? Yeah. You said you wanted 100 turkeys. Okay, that's the first thing I learned about salespeople, that I have to be very precise with my instructions to salespeople. And by the way, why can't we have tasty cakes at WPHT? Why are they only at WIP? We get nothing. The sales guy got 100 frozen turkeys. Well, that's very nice, except that the radio station's not a restaurant. It doesn't have a walk-in freezer, and 100 turkeys is a lot of turkeys. And, oh, by the way, it's 40th and Broadway. I'm going to get 100 turkeys tomorrow? Delivered to the radio station. And now what am I supposed to do with them? Because the winners came from 75 miles around Manhattan. Some of them would have a three-hour drive to pick up their $14 turkey. And where are we going to keep them? And how are we going to keep them from thawing? Because I heard about listeria in high school biology. The next day, get this, listen. The next day, truck pulls up behind the radio station on 40th Street and Broadway, the busiest block in New York City at Thanksgiving time. Pulls up. We get a call. Receptionist says the turkeys are here. Fine. I go downstairs, and there's the truck driver, who I quickly learn is in a union. And I said to the truck driver, okay, we'll deliver them into the building. I can't, he says. What do you mean you can't? I'm not allowed to leave the truck. The truck driver could not take the turkeys any further than lowering them to the street. All the truck driver could do was lower them to the street. And now I look at the porters. It's an office building, and in New York City they had porters and elevator operators and freight guys. And I look at the porters and the freight guys, and I say, can you help me get the turkeys from the truck into the building? No.
No, we can't. We can't do that.
Why?
We're not allowed to leave the building.
They weren't allowed to leave the building. The truck driver could lower the turkeys onto 40th Street. He couldn't take them onto the sidewalk. And the guys from the building at the freight entrance could not cross the sidewalk to the truck. I go back upstairs to my boss, the program director. And I tell him the story, and he goes, he looks at me, and he looks at the morning man in New York City. Come on, let's go. The three of us go downstairs to 40th Street in 20-degree weather and form a chain between the truck and the building. The truck driver hands us turkeys. We hand them to each other to cross this very wide sidewalk to a porter inside the building who can take it and put it on a cart. We had to do it turkey by turkey by turkey, 100 turkeys. This took a little while. I know you'll be shocked, but it took a little while. Well, now what do? I have 100 frozen turkeys, and the listener isn't supposed to come pick them up until the next day. Jesus, the Lord Jesus took care of us. That day, the bloated general manager had received a sofa. We had a sofa box, and in the building was a restaurant. Restaurants have dry ice. We brought the dry ice up. We put it into the sofa box. We put the turkeys into the sofa box. We had a refrigerator. Now we had 100 turkeys. I then had to call 100 contest winners, 100 contest winners, and say, you have to come into Manhattan at the height of traffic, at the height of traffic, Thanksgiving week, and pick up your free turkey. And you know what? And this is what I learned about contest winners and about contesting on the radio. 100 turkeys. People had to drive in from 70 miles away. All 100 winners drove in, all of them, at the holiday traffic, Thanksgiving week, every single one of them drove in to pick up their turkey.
Let's go, 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 go.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Thanksgiving Horror Stories, 888-688-WALT. Everybody who calls in gets a chance to guess who this is.
And hair. Beautiful girl hair.
If you know who
what
that is, you win a chance to come to the radio. You win. You, in fact, win to come to the radio station September 10th. To participate in a Radio Legends event and to see a shocking announcement, an amazing, beautiful, wonderful announcement that has to be a complete surprise. I can't tell you what it is. But that's on December 10th, a very special Sterling on Sunday. David Cassidy is sick. David Cassidy's in the hospital, the singer, the famous singer. He's in the hospital. His organs are shutting down. They don't know how much longer he's going to live. But I guess we get three choices tonight. Either play a David Cassidy song, or a David Cassidy song, or a David Cassidy song.
Cherish is the word I use to describe.
Sundays. Stick Walter in your ear all week. Download the podcast. Get it from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad from iTunes.
In the Kensington area of Philadelphia this weekend, a police officer was murdered. And it's always a tragedy, a particular tragedy on Thanksgiving week. We wish that police officer's family all the best from Kensington area of Philadelphia. I'm Walter M. Sterling. And there's Billy. Happy Thanksgiving to your family, Billy.
Happy Thanksgiving to you also, Doc. That's why I was calling, wishing you and your family and your children happy Thanksgiving. I'm saying that because I can't believe you have that many girls. I would jump off a small pier, whatever.
And how old's your daughter? How old's your daughter?
12.
Right. I have a 12-year-old daughter, too.
And the drama I have to hear from her every day, and then combined with her mother, I run down the street. I run away from it as fast as I can.
All right. So, Billy, I'm going to say a prayer for you because of that daughter. You say a prayer for me because of that daughter. And thanks very much for calling Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT. There's Larry Sears. Larry Sears from Walkerton, Indiana, the star of Walkerton, Indiana. I really appreciate you calling because we're such flakes that I lost that incredibly valuable information. Thank you so much for letting me use your company's email. What's the name of your funeral home?
Thank you, Walter. It's Nussbaum Elkins Funeral Home and Cremation Service.
How long you been in business, Mr. Sears?
102 years. I haven't been there, but the business has been since 1915.
And you're going to let me have a Walter@ email address to your business?
Yes, sir. I'd be happy to.
Well, it's a great privilege because Westwood One, CBS, they all refused me. They all turned me down, so I appreciate it. Tell me the name of your funeral home one more time.
Nussbaum Elkin Funeral Home and Cremation Service.
It's fantastic. Thank you so much, Mr. Sears. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for enjoying the show. Do you enjoy the show?
Every week. That turkey thing was reminded me of the WKRP. Remember that one when they had
I remember that story, but I think my story was a little better. Mr. Sears, hold on. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. So there you have it, a real listener, an avid fan, Larry Sears of Walkerton, Indiana, is going to let me use his email address. What could get better than that? I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And I want you to remember what I have learned from long suffering, that the only reason to have money is to help somebody else. And that the greatest gift that I can be given for Thanksgiving is when somebody says to me, I need your help. It could be for anything, but the greatest gift that you can give me is to say, I need your help. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Walter M. Sterling. Have a great Thanksgiving. This is Westwood One.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.